Hello and welcome. My name is Veronica Conway, and I am here today with you with a conversation in awakening. We're here to awaken Black women specifically to new ways of thinking, being, having it all. And I'm really excited today because I'm talking to one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. Miss Ashley Warmington has been a client with me for a minute, like I'd say over this past year. Sometimes I don't really remember how long, but yeah, she's been with me for a while, and she's just a remarkable human being, and is doing up to some very big things, and is courageous. And I would say the thing that I really adore most about Ashley is she's got profound courage, profound clarity. She's a great mom, doing amazing things. We're going to get into all of that. And so for those of you that are listening, go ahead and get out a little pen and paper, take some notes, and listen for how some of this may apply to you. I believe that when you sit down and listen to anything, any kind of learning moment, it's best to sort of capture notes and look at, like, how might this learning apply to me? So welcome, Miss Ashley. I'm so thrilled to have you here today.
I am happy to be here. You have done a lot for me, seriously. So I'm happy to be here and talk about it.
Oh, thank you. So tell us a little bit about what you do, a little bit about your background, give us sort of the highlights of your background.
So where do I start? Many years ago, I was a business owner. I ran a cleaning business for about 6-7 years. This is after I graduated from college. I was, you know, working in the sciences, and I just had this epiphany that, like, you know, this is back in, I think, 2012, I realized I wanted to kind of bet on myself and see if I can run a business and see if I can, you know, pretty much build a life off of that, because I realized that although, you know, working within the sciences, working in the laboratory was a great opportunity, I really thought about my future and, like, how I wanted my life to be, and I realized it just did not resonate with me. So bet on myself, went out there, started a business, and pretty much looking back, I mean, I hit every single wall you can think of. And I failed, I pivoted, and I think it was like when the pandemic started, then everything began to crumble. I lost clients, you know, lost staff. They had to leave the state. They could no longer stay. Some left the country. And it was a huge blow because I'd spent so much time, energy, money. I mean, I really, you know, rolled the dice. And at the time, my son, he had just turned 2. So it was just like my main source of income. Yeah.
Right.
My main
source
of income.
That's so scary as a mommy. That's so scary as a mom. It's like,
Like everything was hitting me. And it was just, it was a huge blow. And the real blow, I had hired someone. I had pivoted into commercial cleaning. I pivoted from home cleaning. I was doing vacation rental cleaning, pivoted into home cleaning, then pivoted into commercial cleaning. And I hired someone, and that person then tried to start a company under my company, where they were taking pictures during the cleanings and then posting them on their Instagram, and they were trying to post my clients. And that was trying to throw the camel's back. And I mean, everything just kind of toppled. And I had to go back after 6-7 years of being out of corporate, go back and figure out how to fix up my resume and go back into corporate. And I started out working, and actually during the pandemic, I was also getting my MBA. I forgot about that. So I was getting my MBA. I had a 2-year-old. Yeah.
Oh my
and my
God.
Business was crumbling.
Oh my God.
I forgot about it.
Right.
It was so
right.
I don't find that true with black women. Like, we're usually doing, we've taken on so much, and we're kind of juggling it all, but holy, like, wow.
Yeah. Just looking back, I'm like, whoa, that was, like, a lot. And so pretty much had to go back into corporate, and a person who had been running a business for 6-7 years, just finishing their MBA in the middle of the pandemic, had to go back into the work at $15 an hour. And that was the minimum wage, where I am at. And that was a blow. That was a blow, but I was like, listen, take whatever you can get. And I was able to find something where I was able to work from home and, stay home with my child. And I figured it out. I went from that to, I realized, like, listen, you can get into tech. You're capable. Go learn some tech skills. Go learn some programming skills. You've been running a business. I was like, you can do this. And I had to kind of like crawl my way out of, one position into another. And then I got a tech job after like 6 months of working was like a stay at home, work from home job, but another tech job that was work from home, and made a leap into that. But then what was it? I started in October 2021. By time June or like no, not June, May, I got laid off. Literally
in one after another. Right.
And then I found another job, and luckily I hunkered down. So pretty much from as soon as I got that job, I did not say, "Huh, I have this job, wonderful." I said, "No, take this opportunity to figure out how you can build your skills." And I just studied. I took a couple classes in coding, and I studied. I try to get some certifications, and then. When I was laid off, I was like, I had been through so much at that point. I was like, it's okay. I'm going to find another one. So luckily I got severance. So I had like 1 month, literally 1 month of severance. Mm-hmm. So I had 1 month to find a new job, and I did it. I found a new job. And that's when I found that new job, was making more, but I realized the amount from running a business and from what I had gone through, to even get to that point where I got the job, I said, listen, I need help. I need help. Mm-hmm. I need, there's something else deeper here. I don't want to do, I realize that whether it's corporate or running a business, you do not change. Whatever your internal mechanisms are, whatever your thought processes are, I was like, I am not going to go do the same thing I did for the 6-7 years of running my business and do 6-7 years of running it, going back to corporate and making the same mistakes. Whatever it is, that was going on that led to my business failing, it's going to happen in corporate as well. So we got to handle this. And I remember, hearing you on Clubhouse, and I remember just, I remember when your website, I remember bookmarking it on my phone. And every now and again, I would go and look at your website. I would look at the website, I'm like, I'm not ready. I'm not a big boss. Who am I to contact this woman? Who am I? What am I doing? Like, no, I'm not C-suite. Yeah, I was like, no, there's no, and I would look at your website. And I was like, man, I don't know if I could do it. Should I do this? I don't know. And I was sitting there and I'm like, you know who you really are. You know you're an entrepreneur. Mm. You're in corporate out of survival. You know that that this is good money and there's more out there, but you don't, I had the opportunity of freedom. I went through the freedom and the horror of entrepreneurship, even though it was traumatic. I knew that I had to go back, but I knew I wasn't brave enough to go back. I didn't have the foundation to go back. My mindset wasn't right to go back. And I was like, listen, take the corporate money and get yourself together. Get your credit in order. Get your mind in order. Get your spirit in order. Use this time as an investment. Just be honest with yourself. And I did that. And that's when I reached out to you. I was like, listen, I need the help.
Right.
And when we started working together, I mean, it's so crazy. Like, and you had said this, I think when we either in the clubs or when we first started talking, about how you will forget what it is that you cleared, and I'm not lying to you.
Right.
There's so many
right.
times where I can't remember what it is that
right.
you cleared off
because
of.
Because let's face it, as resilient and powerful and resourceful as you were, you had taken some really big hits, right? And you
mm-hmm.
pivoted, you kept trying to adjust, and you kept trying to, right? But you were traumatized from all of that
oh,
lived
yeah.
experience, right? Like, even though you were, like, muscling and powering through, right, and like leaping and trying to figure it all out, right? But you were still traumatized by all that. And when we started,
mm-hmm.
we went in and we cleared that trauma, like, boom, right?
Yeah.
Say a little bit about that,
oh,
even
yeah.
though it's hard to remember what it was even about, because that's how this work
right.
works. But what
I know,
was that like
I
to sort of begin to move? Yeah.
The moving, I mean, it was, how would I say this? It was, well, one of the biggest leaps was leaping into the job that I have currently, where I increased my pay by $40,000. That was,
right.
I did not think I can get to the six-figure mark and above.
Right.
I didn't think I can do it. And I was just like,
right.
well, I need more skills. And what the journey had taught me is that it's not the skills. Like, skills are important. You do need that to a certain degree, but
right.
most people learn on the job. So I realized how much pressure I was putting on myself, unrealistic expectations I was putting on myself, and it kind of like removed this idea that I wasn't good enough to make a certain amount of money, and
mm-hmm.
it was just like, and it also removed my in like I don't know it had a sort of like intention behind what I was doing. It's one thing to apply to jobs, just apply to jobs. But there's something about, like, knowing that you'll get it. There's something
right.
about
that
knowing
that inner certainty.
Yeah.
Yes.
You approach the interview differently. You approach what job you choose to apply to differently. The way you rearrange your resume for that particular job, it's just there's more energy behind it. Like, I'm going
right.
to
there's
do this.
More,
this is a,
you have
yeah.
more, sort of more space. And I remember that you were in a job and, like, literally within a few weeks of us doing our initial session, you went from being, like kind of, like sneaking, not sneaking around, but kind of hiding, right, in the context of your
mm-hmm.
job because you didn't really trust how you showed up with people to
yeah.
then attracting this major project that ended up impacting
oh, yes.
like the whole
yes I
like everybody was like Ashley's
oh
that
my
girl.
God I don't
Ashley's
even
that it girl
what was it I can't even remember whether the cleared it off there was something there was okay because I had to write it down there was I can do anything that I set my mind to there was something
right.
along the lines of that like I achieve everything that I set out to do that was what it was
right.
I achieve
right.
everything that I set out to do and there was this project that for my job in terms of trying to manage people's workload and we didn't have the right systems and my manager had said hey he showed me this new software never seen it before he's like hey if you think you can try to do it and create something from it go ahead and see what happens and within 2 weeks I was able to a software I've never used before was able to create automations, all this like from top to bottom thing where it's pretty much changed the trajectory of that of where our team was going. And then
right.
Engineering then had to build something for the company off of what I created. And then it got
right.
like attention from several, higher ups were like, oh, yeah, this is great. You built this? What? And to me, it was like, no, this is a need. This is absolutely a need. And I didn't look at it as I want to impress them or this is something that I want to show off what how much I know or can do. It was more of this is what I want to do. I see that the team needs it. I can achieve anything I set out to do. So I'm going to set out to do this. And let's see
right.
what happens. And it was kind of
right.
like I left the space for me to achieve. It was like I gave myself room to achieve. I gave myself permission to achieve. And in the end, I surprised myself. I honestly surprised myself. But then that's when I also realized that maybe you capped out. There's no,
right.
they don't have room for you here. And that's when I was
right.
like, oh, I have to go for another job and that pays more, that does more. And that was, it just like, it was like a ripple effect of like, oh yeah, they weren't even prepared for me. In order for me to really get to the next level, I got to stretch out and just go for something else. And that's been, yeah, it was just like, I proved it to myself. And yeah. And even though I'm saying right now, I'm realizing like I gave myself room to achieve it. I gave myself the room, and without the fear of, oh, you're not going to make it, and all these other weird thoughts that pop up, it was like, no,
all
I set out to do it.
Syndrome. All that imposter syndrome that we go through, especially us, in places with not lots of people that look like us, right? We go through imposter syndrome a lot because of our lived experience, right, on planet Earth. And so then there you are, right? I think it was like a few sessions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you did the project, you left, and then it was like, oh, I'm going to get a new job. And then you left, right? And
mm-hmm.
then I think you added like 40K to your salary or maybe?
Yep. Yep.
Like 40K in that leap?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes, that was it. Like, boom. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, it was, and that leap has changed me because it makes me, once again, look at money differently. It makes me look at how much that I set the bar low for myself because I really did, I was looking at something that was impossible for me to get. And I was putting my own mental blocks as to what I can get. And then even in the role that I am in now, I'm learning every single day. And I have to sometimes like remind myself that like nobody's looking for perfection. The idea that you need to know everything and be absolutely perfect in order to get to a certain level is utterly ridiculous.
Right.
That is not like, it's like, no, that's not it. It's just show up and be your best. Show up
Listen,
and be your
men,
best.
Men fail up all the time. Men fail up all the time, right? They do. And so women,
it blows my mind.
I coach a lot of women. Women tend to be sort of overly, sometimes play not to lose. We don't play to win because we expect so much of ourselves because of how we've been trained, I think, as women. And so we tend to have more imposter syndrome, but you overcame that. And then boom, the minute you did that, like, boom, like it totally shifted. So that's the arena. We're going to deal with this in the Awaken Woman Warrior, the arena of business. Right. And not just you having a business, but also you being in the business of you, career and cash, right? Like, how do I navigate money? Like the making of it, the maintaining of it, right? How do I do that? And so you made a leap around the business of you pretty fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's...
And then body, simultaneously, we got body handled, right? So we did an identity installation.
Yes.
Around a person who loves to work out.
Yes. And that has been, no joke, every time I go for my walk runs, in the morning, I'm like, yeah, Veronica did her thing. It's just like, it could be cold out, and I'm like, we're going to get it in. It's, you know, go to the gym for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, we get it. It feels awkward for me now to not break a sweat in the morning or break a sweat at least once a day to work out. I recently just did a 5K. I was like, whoa, who would have thought? It's absolutely insane. And now I'm looking forward to like, you know what, let me sign up for another 5K. Let me see what else that I can do. And it's like, it's just a must. It's an absolute must for me to work out. And I honestly, it was a struggle for the longest. I think when I had my son, I had gained about 40, 50 pounds. And then around when he's like 1, 2 years old, I dropped it a little bit, but it was just hard to just stay, to carve out the time to do it.
Right.
And now it's like a non-negotiable. It's a part, it's like brushing your teeth for me. It's like, it's a part of my day. It just has to happen. And it's for me. And it's like, there was no, like I tried, all of Beachbody, all the YouTube videos. It was just like, why can't I stick with it? Why am I not doing this? Why can't I, you know, just, and it just, I couldn't do it on my own. Like once you install, I can't, every time I work, I'm like, yeah, it's there. It's just a part of
who I
am now.
I want people to really understand it because what's sort of appearing out here in the self-help world, the personal development world, is the idea of identity, right? If you have the identity of the person that you want to be, then you'll do the things that that person does, right? And so, but what I'm seeing out here, because they don't actually have access to this very little sliver of human technology that people just don't understand, is that they approach identity as you have to embody it, but it's kind of, they have, the processes are kind of mechanical. Like, you have to will yourself there. You have to do the stuff to be the identity. And what we do, what I've learned, discovered about identity, is that there's this being that you want to be, like the person that loves to work out. And then there's this emotional architecture that completely resists that identity. And so what we do is like a defrag of your hard drive. We go in and it's like defragging code line by line. We take all of the subconscious architecture that is in resistance to that identity, and then we just knock it down one by one until you are that, and then literally it turns on that day. There's another person that you and I both know, Ja, and she heard about your identity installation, and then she hired me for identity installation, and she was like, "You don't understand. I would make every excuse. I can't work out because I can't climb over the clothes. I don't have the clothes, and the thing is in the way, and the box is in the way, and all the reasons why not." She won't come back. She literally the next day, she's like, I'm laying in my bed and I'm figuring out how do I work out in bed. I'm laying here in bed and I'm doing hair and I'm figuring out how to work out as I'm standing here doing hair. And to this day, this was months and months ago, she works out religiously and it's just effortless, right? You just, when you literally defrag the resistance to the identity, you become that and then you do it, right?
I don't know if it's like, it's not scary, but it's kind of like eye opening thing that happens is that when you go in and you end up revealing the thoughts that I didn't even realize I was thinking.
Right.
The belief that I had there, that it's so weird. It's like, it's there and there's like a part of you that knows it's there and you're it's like software that you're operating off of and you kind of know it's there. But you don't know. But as you go, when you do what you do, you are like revealing it to me. And I'm like, yeah, whoa. I didn't realize it was that deep. I didn't realize I saw myself that way. I didn't realize I saw it that way. And it's like that part is like you are revealing me to me.
Yeah,
and
it's a subconscious architecture. It's not conscious. It's a subconscious architecture.
Yeah, and you can't do that on your own because you're operating off of it every single day. Hey, it's like asking to look at your own eyeballs without a mirror. It's like it's not – it's really like that. It's not possible. And you come in and you're like, oh, that's what it is. It's that – I think it's that gives me chills. That when you peel back the veil – several veils when you go in, it's like, oh, that's how I've been operating. And then I think one of the most ground shaking part is that when you remove the trauma, there was like a good period of time, several months, where I was now looking back at the old Ashley and how she operated. And there was a moment of grief and sorrow and also understanding where it's like, oh, sweetie, you didn't know better. There was no way for you to see what you were doing to yourself and how you saw the world. And it was just like, whoa. It's like the new me, the higher version of me looking at the older version, like, wow, there was no way that you were going to make these moves because to you, that move was scary. To you, that move seemed impossible. To you, that move seemed dangerous. And now it's like, no, that has to happen. We have to do this. Right. This is normal. This is okay. It's like, I had to give myself grace a lot because I realized there was just no way. There wasn't enough will for me because you have to actually see what the problem is to fix it. And you may think you know what it is, but
you may think you know.
Yeah.
You think you know, but you never know until you get under the hood and then you go, oh, Lord. Oh, my God. Like, you don't know. Yeah.
There's no way, and you cannot do that on your own. You cannot do that on your own. And it's like that part, I'm like, wow, yeah, this is this path that I've taken, where I ended up in the past before working with you was honestly unavoidable because I did not understand how I was operating in the world. I did not understand what was really holding me back. What were my real fears and anxieties? What was the root of those fears and anxieties? What were my beliefs about what I deserve? Like, you can really think you deserve good things.
Right.
Oh, man.
but it's different than being a complete energetic availability to them. See, because willpower is simply not enough. And because we not only have we been traumatized as Black women, right? Let's just keep it a buck, keep it $1,000, right? $1,000,000. But it's a response to all the trauma that we just go through in our lived experience. But also, we sort of been through this collective traumatic event called COVID and the pandemic and all the stuff that came from that. And so much of it piles up, and we just don't realize how much of our – how it makes us so unavailable, how it shuts us down. And because of the water in which we swim, we normalize it. We think, oh, this is just what it is. This is how it goes, right? And – Nothing could be further from the truth. But until you make enough internal space, I've had a lot of – everybody says to me, I have more space. And when you have this space, you become magnetic to opportunity. Right? It's just like what happened with your job. Like, there you were, and then boom, this drops in, and boom, and then you leverage it, right? That you leap, right? Because you have this internal equilibrium that enables you to receive, become.
Yeah.
Right? Move.
So true.
Right? You've also made some amazing moves around balance, which is what I call relationship, right? So your relationship with your son, for example, and the things that you're doing there are quite profound. You want to say a little bit about that part? Because there's you making some amazing strides with him too.
Oh, yeah. So for me, part of my journey in seeing my humanity, I'm able to look at my son differently. Because even though, what was he? He was about 4 years old when I started working with you. I know that in the first 7 years of a child's life have a profound impact. Where they live, who they live with, what you say to them, it really leaves an imprint on them long term. How they, you know, relate to money and love, and do they feel like they need to earn love? So I've always been really conscious of what I say to him and how I work with him, but you can only do but so much if you don't realize who you are and how you're like what your anxieties are, you don't realize how you could be affecting your own child. So I, in the last year, I would say, have been really working on building a relationship with him and listening to him. And trying to decipher what it is he's feeling and validating what he's feeling. And also, because I'm also kind of trying to heal whatever I may have, anxieties I may have passed on to him before I got myself healed. So, and that was another part. I was like, I got to get myself healed early on as possible because I have to then transfer that healing onto him. And one of the things that I constantly think about is, like, you know, the environment that I grew up in, the environment that his father grew up in, and how spiritually and genetically those are things that my son has inherited. And even though he is an amazing kid, very bright, academically way ahead. I mean, we're on our P's and Q's when it comes to academics. But one of the things that, you know, I was never able to really help him with his social-emotional, because I didn't have the skills to do that for myself, so I couldn't even do that for my child. So for me, you know, I have been able to see that there's a disconnect with him when it comes to social-emotional. The way that he operates as a child versus other children is very highly sensitive. So knowing these things, I've always kept in mind, okay, I've got to put him into private school. There's certain activities I need to put him in terms of extracurricular activities. But one of the things that you had taught me was about Tematis in sound therapy. So right now he is set up to do the hearing test, and then he's going to do a 15-week intense sound therapy sessions, 1 hour a day, and then have his, you know, follow-up.
Game changer.
In the team. And
the game changer.
It's like,
going to change the trajectory of his life. Yeah, it's going to change the trajectory of his life. Yes.
Right? And it's like this, and I think it's because for my own healing and seeing that I didn't go to a therapist to get this healing. I didn't go to my primary care gods to get this type of healing. The things that you have done for me I've always been on the path of like looking at non-traditional methods, but what you have done, it's like, oh, you got to start this as early as possible. You have got to figure out, like, I realize that what I'm doing for myself, for my son, is not going to be as simple as getting an IEP. Because even when they have done the evaluations, because he is so smart and such a sweet child, they don't see what I see. Because I'm thinking about his future. I'm thinking about how he will adjust in society down the line, not just from what I, you know, what I teach him, his life experiences and how that will mold him. And I think also this may even bleed into him, you know, me being a Black mother and him being biracial. They're like, well, he's already academically ahead. What else does he need? And I see that a lot where it's like, well, and same thing for Black women. Well, you have a great job. You know, you're not suffering. What else could you need? You're fine. Keep it pushing. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that with my kid. It's like, no, I'm not going to just say, well, you check off all. And that's happened a lot where it's like you have the education or you have some money in the bank, but you're not mentally well. You're not spiritually well. You're scared. All these other things that we don't think are important because it's seen as especially for Black women, you have enough. What are you complaining about?
Because the world has limiting beliefs about us. We live into this like meta belief that the world has for us. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And the tyranny of low expectations for us. Even though we have the goods, right? And we show up and cause and create and are resilient, right? But the world despite everything. Despite everything. So we're always like battling against that. And so for you to insist upon more, right? For and not only insist upon it, but expect it, receive it, navigate for it, and without apology, right? Like I think that is the thing that we as Black women have to do. We have to be so internally certain and congruent that our intent trumps everything else. And when we get aligned like that, then it works, right? It works because we're not willing to settle or tolerate, right? The tyranny of low expectations that the world has for us.
Exactly. I think the biggest lesson for me is, and this may sound redundant, but this is your life. This is my life.
Yeah.
It is up to me to take the step. When I was looking at your website, I was like, I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I'm enough. This is my life. If I choose not to get the help, I have to deal with the consequences of that. If I choose to get the help, I have to deal with the consequences of that. And the consequences of having gotten your help, it's up to me. It's really, this is your life. And I don't think I spoke to anybody about it when I reached out because I was like, this is my life. This is mine.
No one can tell you. All my clients are sort of soulmate clients, I feel like. People that come to me are really ready for me. They really are ready to what I'm putting down, right? They're my soulmate. Y'all my soulmates, right? And so it's not even this external decision. It's like if you know, you know.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And the thing that's so crazy is you couldn't really have known, because I know that you've maybe tried other approaches. You maybe tried therapy. People often come to me and they've tried everything. I have people that have come to me being recommended to electroshock therapy, suicidal ideation, all kinds of spiritual dysfunction, soul shifting, things that people could never have uncovered on their own. And they come to me and they're amazed because they have spent a lot of time in sort of more mechanistic approaches. And then when they come to me, it always, the sessions go so fast and they're so transformative that they leap, right? And so you had sort of done that. And I also want you to touch on what you're doing with your son around this private school trajectory, because I think that is another game changer that we've positioned you for, right, that's going to really change the game. So both those things.
Absolutely. It's like so for him, I have realized that, you know, he's in a great public school, wonderful teachers. They don't have the tools to maintain the standards that I have for him, one, mm-hmm. and push him further. He needs to be challenged. He's really at this point there just making friends, and that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. That's great for his social-emotional health. But in terms of him being a winner, which he is naturally, and he's naturally competitive, which is shocking, I don't even encourage it. I'm seeing, like, I guess it's so weird with when you see a child and you see who they are, you begin to see how there's certain things that are innately already there, and you as a parent get to decide whether or not you want to encourage those things or squash them, and it's up mm-hmm. to you to kind of figure out how you want to mold them. So with his competitive nature, it's already there. His ambition is already there. I'm like, okay, I don't need to push you in that area, but what I do need mm-hmm. to do is to give you the tools so that you can be actually competitive. Because it's one thing to have mm-hmm. the competitive spirit, but if you don't have the tools in order to be competitive, mm-hmm. you're going to wind up
resources.
Circling the drain. Yeah, the resources. Right. You're going to circle the drain. You're going to keep hitting the walls, and that's where I think a lot of children, especially for Black children, where you see them go from being ambitious to winding up in really bad situations because there comes this point where they realize, I don't have the tools, I don't have the connections, I don't have the resources to make it. And we don't want to tell children that. So as a result, like, you know, we kind of let them go out there and figure it out for themselves. It is my duty as his mother, as his parents, right. as the person who brought him in this life, to say, okay, you're a winner. I need to give you the tools so that you can actually win. I need to put you in the environment so you can actually win. So that you can understand that you have to put in the work, you have to put in the effort, you have to practice in order to be good. This is how. And also, another thing that I realized, it is not normal to ask for help. I was never taught
right.
how to ask for help. And
mm-hmm.
I saw that he has taken that on himself. And the crazy part, I don't realize how I taught him that, but I see it in him. And I'm like, you learned
mm-hmm.
that from me. I don't know how I transferred that on to him, but I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something recently where I had told him, like, hey, I had hired somebody to come and clean. And I said, Michael, you know, mommy can't do everything. And so what I did recently is that I had somebody come in to clean because sometimes I need help. And I'm like saying this to him when
mm-hmm.
he didn't want me to help him with some math or something like that. To
right.
explain to him,
right.
I realized, like, what he sees is mommy's doing everything. Mommy's figuring it out. Mommy's doing it.
Right.
He doesn't see me ask for help. So it's not normal for him to go, and I'm not showing
right.
a good example. So I
have
to stop and say, hey. Yeah. And I was like,
yeah.
I was like, hey, and I need help. And somebody's coming in to clean and to, you know, fold the laundry and stuff like that because I need the help. You know what he did? He's like, oh, okay, mommy, come help me with this. I do need help. And I'm like, yeah, there's things that I need
That's so good.
I'm like, because I'm able to identify, okay, you've taken on a bad habit of mine. I have to show you I can ask for help because when
mm-hmm.
he goes to private school, he's going to have a bunch of people helping him and he has got to get used to asking
yes.
for help. He's got to get used to,
yes.
and he's really good at asking questions, which I love about him. He'll ask me questions, like tons of questions all the time. And I'm like, okay, let's figure it out. Let's go look here. Let's go read this. Let's go Google it. And I'm like, okay, when you go to school, I want you to be surrounded by people who are happy to answer your questions, are excited about the fact that you're asking questions, and that you realize that there's other resources besides me and your dad
mm-hmm.
and your classmates. There are actual other adults that can help you achieve what you want to achieve and make that a norm. I think that one of the things that I for Black women, having a mentor, having a coach is not normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's, well, fix your resume.
Right.
It's, well, get
right.
take more classes.
Take right.
more classes, do more, take on more work at, you know, at work and hopefully they'll like you. There is no, like, it's not normalized to ask for help. It's
right.
And also when
right.
We
it's more
our,
normal
our
for us to
mother.
Take on more, to shoulder more.
Yes.
We tend to shoulder more as opposed to insist on receiving more.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Right.
That is,
our default is to shoulder more. It's to shoulder more. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, and prove
absolutely.
Our worth through shouldering more.
Right.
Instead of saying,
it's a proving
I'm
energy.
Deserving
yeah.
of help. I'm deserving
right.
of help. And it's so weird for me even now at work. I'm like, you know, I am not, I'm willing to help, but I have learned to really focus on how do I have the biggest impact? Instead of trying to, I can do everything and be a workhorse.
Right.
It's like, how do I have the biggest impact? How do I use my skills the most? Where can I, you know, learn more so that I can, give more or whatever? And I just, the way that I'm approaching this position is different. And I'm not gonna lie, sometimes I'm like, wow, I am, you know, not working as hard as that person. And I feel bad, but then it's funny. I'll go and say, okay, let me take on a little bit more work. Let me try to help more people. There's another person on my team who, while I'm too busy in that mode of like, let me do more, that person mm-hmm. then gets to shine because they're taking on less. And I was like, okay,
right.
I step back into that
right.
pit. Step back into that
right.
pit, and I lost my footing for a little bit. You know, no, we're not doing that because
right.
like, oh, this person's shining because they have less on their plate. And they've strategically,
right.
and I see what they're doing, and I'm like, applause to you. And I fell
right.
into the trap of feeling like I'm not doing enough, and it's like, ah, no, peel it on back, peel it all right,
right.
on back. And it's like, I'm approaching, because I think for me, making more money is great, but then making more money and not handling the position you're in is not the best. So, it's not the best, you know, strategy, so... You know, I'm learning how to like ask for help and, you know, delegate and things like
yeah.
that. So for my son,
and boundaries
I want
and
yes.
and shining, like you shine more
mm-hmm.
when you carry less, right? And you can still
yes.
have
yes.
an even more powerful impact. You can shine and have a greater impact, not without shouldering everything.
Exactly.
Right, the deep conditioning that we have in our community as Black women to shoulder, and I want to get us away from that. I want to get us like sort of optimized and weaponized and moving and powerful. And so for you also, so that's more about the balance part, right? So I mean about the being part, like who you be, right, and how you
mm-hmm.
move and what your rhythms are and what your emotional states are day to day and how you operate, right? That's a huge piece of this whole puzzle, right, that we're going to be
mm-hmm.
addressing in Awaken Woman Warrior, piece about you being and how you be and having boundaries and doing less and impacting more. Talk a little bit about that, just your emotional equilibrium and how that has shifted in our work.
I will say for me, I am prioritizing my self-care more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I am learning to put myself first. And it's
right.
it's almost like a conscious thought where I say, okay, I have this much energy left. Do I really
mm-hmm.
need to give it away or can I save it for tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow
mm-hmm.
I have a little bit more. And I'm like really, I'm consciously thinking about how I use my energy. And
right.
even in co-parenting, one thing that I've recently started to do where I'm trying to like, let's make decisions together. Let's try to figure out how we do this together. I am becoming a little bit more assertive where it's like, we need to execute. Yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
If you
mm-hmm.
can't make a decision in the next hour, I'm going to make a decision on the behalf of both of us and then go from there. Because I have a clear idea of what I want my life to be and how I want to spend my energy. And I'm understanding if you do not have that focus, people will then have a plan for your energy. And
yes.
because I'm like
yes.
very clear and all, like, okay, now this is how I want to spend my energy. These are the things that I want to get done for the month of November for myself and for my son. And these are the dates that we need to have. This is what I need from you. If you cannot give it to me, then listen, we're going to have to keep pushing. And I just have that level of confidence and assurity as to how I want my days, my weeks, my hours to be spent.
Yes.
And I am not going to allow anybody's, and I think that's the other part is the other people's confusion, lack of purpose,
mm-hmm.
chaos.
Right.
You kind of wind up project managing other people's lives.
Right. Right.
Instead of your own
right.
life. And I'm
right.
like, I don't have the time to do that. I need the energy that I have to do other things. I need it for myself.
Right.
I need it for my mental health. I need so that I can sit and think. And it's like, okay, I'm getting to become more aware of how other people's, and it's so crazy, I don't, and it's not that they mean people's lack of self-esteem or
yeah.
I don't know, driver
yeah.
or purpose can really affect
yeah.
you. It really
you can see
can
it, right.
make you.
Can see it. You can see it more when you're clearer and have more peace and equilibrium.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
it's like
you can't see it when you're swimming in the same water that they are. You can't
mm-hmm.
see it as clearly. And you also can't necessarily assert boundaries, right, about it when
yes.
you're in that same, right? But then you get clearer and you become more, you know, I always say that my work is the art and science of naming the invisible. There's so much that we are at the effect of, both internally and externally, like external pressures and outer, you know. But we have to name it and bring light, shed light on it before we can even attempt to solve it. And so much of what's invisible is really beneath the surface. It's deeply subconscious, unconscious, you know, it can be spiritual and energetic, right? It's all of these things, right? But I think part of, if I can say this, I think that part of your journey has been like naming the invisible, waking it up, seeing where the
mm-hmm.
where the dark spots were, and then blowing those out, and then so that you can see, right? You have more clarity, more agility, more, right? Would you like that? That's been really
mm-hmm.
a part of your journey across all of these dimensions. Right? It's been in every dimension.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's that's something. So like even for the private school, I said, listen, there's a private school annual school fair. I'm signing us up. You can come. He came. We did our round. We talked to different schools. And then at the, like, it was like a fair. And then we signed up for
yeah.
open houses to go to each and every individual school that we wanted to go to. And it was
right.
just like, listen, I'm kind of on I'm becoming to realize how if you are shooting off like a rocket, people just have to catch up and don't feel bad.
Right.
Don't feel bad
right.
about it. And I realized how much I would slow down for there to not make people feel bad about me on a rocket. And it's like, no, this is part of who you are. And this is part of how you operate. This is like, so don't feel bad about it. Just execute and keep going and welcome other people's opinion if they can keep up. But
right.
don't slow
Absolutely.
Down in order for them to put in their input while they're figuring it out. It's like,
right.
I'm, and it's changing,
Huge.
Honestly,
the
relationship I have with my child's father, where it's like, he's come to a realization that I'm not being mean. I'm just going forward. And you either get on this ship or, you know, you figure it out for yourself. You're welcome. You're always welcome to jump on the ship as we go full throttle, but you got to jump
right.
on the ship. So it's a matter, and I realize how much I'm the initiator. I'm the initiator where it's like, we're going to do this. We're going to. It's just, it's really, and just lack of self-doubt or feeling like, you know, I need someone else to validate what
right.
I know is right. Once
right.
I kind of, like,
and
that's gone away, it's
huge.
Like, no.
Right, you just move. Right, and it's so interesting because,
yeah.
you know, and I'm going to talk about this in a minute, but, like, just this whole gender war thing, you know, and not that you're in love with your son's dad, but there's this whole pressure, right, about how Black women are not meant to, like, exceed and excel
mm-hmm.
and be on that rocket ship, right? There's a whole pressure out here in the zeitgeist about how we're supposed to show up to make other people feel comfortable. And it's,
mm-hmm.
it's nonsense, right? And then especially for those that are listening – one of the things that I turned Ashley on to, you know, I had gotten my children $1.2 million in elite private school education for about $20,000. I found this path, right, where they went to school with, like, the Schwabs and the Gettys and the Redford grandkids, right, and you know, Robert F. Smith's daughter, right? I put them in that environment not knowing how I was going to do it, not knowing what it was going to mean. I just sort of got the vision, did it. Nobody was supporting me, like, to do that, right, because it was a rocket ship. that they couldn't understand. And so now she has, and what I talked about in that class on Clubhouse is, I did a master class on this, is how so many of us don't attempt this because there's no precedent for it. We don't see people around us doing it, and we don't think it's possible mm-hmm. because we show up at these K-8s that have a nowadays $40,000 sticker price, right? And we think, well, I can't have that. But there's a path. There's like a path that we help you define and map out for your son that's going to change the trajectory of his life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I went on the school tour and I saw the kids there, I mean, these kids were waving at us. There's a group of parents just going to the school. They were waving at us. I got to see how the teachers interacted with the kids. And the teachers are happy to be there. You can tell that those teachers are being well paid. You can tell that these teachers, this is their career, not a job. And these kids, they were not scared of life. They were not shy. They sat up.
Right.
They were able to ask questions. They weren't told to shush or to let's move on. They weren't dismissed. I saw how they were not dismissed. Their ideas, their thoughts, they're able to they were, and I can see them like, oh, they are grooming future leaders here.
Right.
They're grooming people who are going to show up in the world as and understand the world as their oyster. They're not going into the world thinking that they owe somebody for their existence. And I was like, this is an environment that I want my son to be raised in. I want him to be sheltered in, because honestly, you know, and it's also as I'm healing on my own journey, I have to realize there are certain things as I'm breaking it off. You kind of have to, it's like you're doing double duty, where it's like I'm healing myself at the same time. I need to make sure that my son is in an environment around people who were brought up in a better environment than I was. Because your kids' peers are going to have the most effect on them at a certain point than you are. And I want him to be around teachers, advisors, kids that are coming from a better environment than I did, because I don't want any of the things that I have, that I'm working on, to affect him. So
intergenerational transcendence. That is transcendent, right? And we as moms have to make that decision. And we have to have our own heads on straight to have the self-confidence to navigate those environments so that we can support our kids in being around those environments. I wanted for my children, even though, you know, I came from humble beginnings, I did not want the people that ran the world to be a mystery to my children. I didn't want them to be a mystery. Right?
Yes.
And when you go to school in those environments, then you realize, oh, we're all humans. Some of us come here with more resources than others, but we're all humans, right? And we often exclude ourselves from those environments. We just write ourselves out of the ticket because of all of the what we think it means and the pressure and the money and all that. But you're clear about this.
Oh, yeah. 100%. It's just, it has to be done. It has to be done, because I realized, like, what you consider to be normal depends on how you grow up. What you I'm realizing, like, even just things, you know, volunteering at his current school right now, him seeing me do that and him seeing other kids' moms do that is important because that becomes a norm for him, that my mom is involved at my school. My mom volunteers here, you know, at the events.
Right.
You know, my mom is helping out. My mom is part of the community. You know, it's not just I send you to school and you're by yourself and you don't see me until I pick you up. It's we're going to go to this event together. We're going to go do this together. I'm going to help with the decorations here. Mommy, I'm like, mommy's baking these, you know, apple turnovers for, you know, the Halloween carnival, and mommy's going to help with this. And he gets to see that. That becomes what's normal to him, to see me interact with other adults and, you know, kids are watching every single thing that you do, even when you think they're not watching. They are watching you and they are determining what is normal based on what's happening. So seeing that, I'm like, okay, yeah, I need to put him into a better environment where they're challenging him academically. There's a certain normal of happiness, of freedom.
Right, right.
Of
and
peace.
Expectation and abundance and
yeah.
possibility.
Yeah,
and
abundance.
Choices and,
that's
right,
what it
abundant.
Was. That's the vibe.
Right. right.
There's
no,
like, I can't have that or I'm not going to succeed. There was
huge...
none of that.
People used to come to my kids' school and cry. Like, they'd be like, holy. It just, because it changes their self, their identity and their thought. But again, as a mom, as a, you know, Black, you got to have your head so on straight to do this, to help navigate this. So as we, and I, thank you, you've been so generous with your time today. And I think you're such an amazing journey for people to really get what's possible. I mean, and, you know, you and I have talked about, because we, you know, on Clubhouse, we ran with some women, really powerful women that, that you know, that deal with Black women's empowerment and sort of what's next for us. And I think you said to me, and you said to me, you said in Clubhouse when we talked about this in groups, you said, So much of what happens out here, right? The content, right? It wakes up, like what we need to do as Black women and what where we are, help us locate ourselves, right? In terms of what's going on in our lived experience. But a lot of times we don't have the tools to actually transcend it, to really leap, right? We know what the problem is, but what are the tools that actually have us transcend it and not without 20 years on a therapist couch? Like, how do we transcend? Mm-hmm. And you said to me, you're the missing link. You're the thing. Your work is the thing. Will you say a little bit about that? And it's relevant to what's happening out here as self-help and personal development and specifically related to Black women, but also what the difference is. Because you're very versed in this terrain, right? And you know what the difference is because you've experienced the difference.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's one thing to take a class. It's like information versus knowing. Like an inner knowing. It's like you can get the information. You can look at the information. You can say, oh, you know what? Yeah, I can see where I messed up. I can see, you know, how, you know, I ended up in that bad relationship. I can understand why I made these decisions. I can see why I made those particular situations based on the, I guess, collective trauma that's going on. Because there's a collective trauma that's going on, and that's more of what's being taught, and that we do need to understand that you are not okay. And to kind of backtrace where certain, why you made certain decisions and why you were in certain place. But actually getting the trauma off of you, actually taking ownership of your life, actually seeing that you create your own life. Even though you've had trauma, you create your own life, but you have to get the trauma off of you. And I think it's the getting rid of the trauma. It's, cause the thing is that, shaming works to a certain degree. And I think that's how, honestly, I think that's how a lot of Black women climb the levels of success is shame.
Right.
It's like, I have to do this out of shame. I have to not do this out of shame. And it's like shame, it governs our life. And it's like, that's kind of where, that's level one. And that's where the information kind of like shames you into realizing that, oh, that was not a good decision. Oh, I messed up. That's good. That happens. That's a part of, you know, life. It is what it is. There's a saying that there is no shame where there's no pride. If you have any kind of pride, you're going to feel shame. That is normal. But it's not going to heal your trauma. It's not going to help you to execute on decisions that you need to make in your life to make it better.
Right.
You know, without any doubt. Because you're kind of stuck in your traumatic body, your traumatic
your
self,
loop.
Where it's like, even though the loop, it's like, even though you know this is a better decision, you're going to keep making the same bad decision, but like in a different way slightly because you have more information. But once the trauma that resonates with that bad decision, because that bad decision is, you didn't make the bad decision because you're dumb. You made the bad decision because it was normal or was comfortable or it felt like a good idea or, you know, not making that decision did not feel comfortable to you. Yes.
Right. Or you decide out of fear. Because a lot of times we make a lot of decisions out of fear. We don't feel safe or we feel scared or we feel vulnerable or we feel ugly or we feel dumb. Right. All those things, go into decision making until we get the trauma deleted.
Exactly. And one thing Black women do not want to admit is that we're afraid. We do not want to admit that we're afraid. That is something. Fear
yeah.
is not a part of our vocabulary. What do we have to be afraid
right.
of?
Right.
We're the pit bulls
right.
Of the world. What are you talking about? What do we have to fear? So that disconnect, that's another thing. That's why I said, like, it gives me chills. It was a little scary. Like, as you were going through the layers and unveiled what I really thought, what was really going on in there, it was like, oh,
right.
wow. Like, you don't even realize what is really going on in there. You can
right.
take the classes, but you don't even know what's really going on in there, how you
right.
really feel, because you're so disconnected from it that you don't
right.
even, you can't heal something that you don't see, that you don't understand is even
right.
there. So it's like that part, I mean, yes, classes are important. Take them, learn the knowledge, and it will aid you in your journey. But the trauma.
But this
the
is
trauma,
so much faster, right? Like, because people, it's so funny because, you know, I founded the world's first Black coaching organization, you know, decades ago, back before everybody and their mama was a coach. I founded the world's first Black coaches, and we did the first version of culturally competent coaching. And I knew that I had my work cut out for me, because back then you have to do the education of the community about that coaching is a thing and why it's relevant and why culturally competent coaching is relevant. And I had to do all of that. Right now, everybody kind of knows coaching. And now everybody also sort of gotten wind that we're traumatized, right? But because I have dedicated, like, literally 23 years to cracking the code about how to kill the trauma, like, in a
mm-hmm.
session or two, the world still hasn't caught up to me, right? I pioneered back then, right? But now I'm like, I've been putting it together and synthesizing and putting it into this technology, this approach, right, where it's not like, you know what the problem is? We can go in and locate what's beneath your surface awareness and excavate it, pull it out, and then demolish that subconscious architecture in a session. Like in identity installation, we can do it in a session. And that's what I think is unique. And that's
yep.
why, you know, you've worked with me privately, right? But you sort of
yep.
been exposed to all of the stuff. The reason that I'm creating Awaken Woman Warrior is because I wanted a way to make this work accessible, more financially accessible, because I'm expensive, y'all. I'm expensive because I'm accurate, right? I'm surgical with it. What did Denzel say? I'm surgical with this. I'm surgical with it, right? So, I charge a lot, right? Because I spent 22 years figuring this out for us. But I wanted to make it accessible and give women, Black women, a way to leap in community, right? And then have access to some of these tools that I've only really made available privately. And to really leverage it so that they could locate themselves and so that they could leap too. Because I think that if you turn, you know, you talked about, like, the fear is not in our vocabulary. And, you know, and when I was naming this program, I was like, Awaken Woman Warrior. Do we really want to be warriors? And I don't think of warrior as having to be hardened and fierce. I think of it as having to be agile and nimble and responsive to the demands and the uncertainty of our environment, right? That's what I mean by warrior. Like, are you equipped, right, to respond to anything that comes your way?
Mm-hmm.
Are you equipped to design strategically, like the Pivot Protocol, right, a future across these dimensions of body, being, balance, business? Do you have the clarity? Have you blown up the trauma enough so that you can move with great agility, right, into these coming days, because it's going to be more crucial than ever. And so I wanted to make this available to make it more accessible, right? And also be in community with really powerful, like-minded women. I find that usually, just like you, as you started the story today, your journey, you had the goods, right? You're smart, you're capable, resilient, resourceful, like you're figuring out your kid, you're figuring out in business, and you're struggling. It's painful, but you're doing it, right? And I find
mm-hmm.
that when we often have this, like, 80%, 80, 90% Black women, we get this last 10 to 20%, this where we, all of our gifts and abilities that we've been carrying and deploying up against this sort of ceiling, once you lift that lid, right, then you leap, right? And that's what
yeah.
you did. You just had to get that last
okay.
thing.
Oh, yeah.
So what would you say to a Black woman that is considering this journey? Like, it's going to be a group journey that we're going to do with Awaken Woman Warrior in this last 2 months of 2023. But what would you say to the Black woman who might be listening to this? What do you think is possible for her? What should she know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you know?
I mean, I would say, I would take a deep thought about, like, how much do you value the future? Like, what's the price tag on that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, okay, if you, like I would think of it in those terms, like, because your future is just a reflection of yourself. It's
mm-hmm.
not going to be, I think, if you strip everything away and think, instead of thinking like, oh, well, I'm only going to get this future if I have this person or this job or this, though, all those things that make up a life, they are an extension of you. They're an extension of you. And it requires you to be honest with yourself and say, what I've been doing is not working.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm doing is not working, and I am not very clear on what I need to do to get to the future. Because the thing is that it's like whatever you're wanting, if you had all that it takes to have it, you would have the future. You'd be in that
right.
dream future that you
right.
that you want, that life that you want. You don't
right.
have it because there are things that need to be worked on, and that's okay.
Right.
But just admit that the strategies that you've been using are not working. Just be honest,
yeah.
and it's okay.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. And I think it's like it doesn't make you a bad person. It's like saying like if you're on a weight loss journey, it's like, well, if I just stopped eating, if I just da, 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 and you come up with all these things. If you just stop looking at it like that and realize, hey, I need
right.
the help to go a little deeper because all the things that I'm trying are not working.
Right.
They're not working.
Right.
And it's okay. There's nothing.
Right.
You're not a bad person. You're just trying to figure
right.
this out. And now you've
right.
met somebody who can help you. Take
right.
the help.
Yes.
Don't sit and struggle further when the struggling further has not helped you so far. It's
right.
not working.
It's not working.
And it could totally work.
It could totally
mm-hmm.
work. Like across every dimension, it could totally work.
Right.
It's totally work.
Get the help.
Yeah.
Get the help.
Yeah.
I think also what a lot of people don't realize is that the greats, the people that you see that are so amazing, they're getting help.
Yeah.
They're getting
yes,
help.
They are.
They're just saying it. They're just not saying it. That's the other part. Saying it out loud. Cosmetic surgery.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I want to look like that. And it's like, maybe if I just work out hard and look like that, and you don't realize that person has a doctor on speed dial that you don't know about. That you've
right.
never seen them with, they don't talk about it, they don't post about it, but that's what they go through to look like that. But you're trying to become what they look like without the doc.
Right.
The people that are great, the people who are really doing this thing out here,
have a lot.
They're getting
of help.
The help.
Absolutely. And I coach all the way up and down the professional ladder, right? I coached everyone from truck drivers to CEO. I have a couple of women executives that are, you know, senior executives at major institutions, and they get help. They get help. Because that high wire act, right, it's the higher the wire, the higher the stakes, right? And I coach a lot of influencers and people that are actresses and, you know, people that have been on the red carpet at Cannes and, you know, had big disappointments and had to be on set, right? Like, I coached all the way up and down the ladder, so to speak. And everybody needs help because we're all human.
Mm-hmm.
No matter from where we sit, we're human. We're black women, right? And, yeah, I'm so grateful to you because I'm so proud of you. I'm so inspired by you. I'm so, you know, you take all the medicine. You're just like, okay, I'm doing it. Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, I'll try it. But it works for you, right? Like you really
mm-hmm.
are embodying. If you look back to when you first began and where you were at emotionally and across all these dimensions and the difference that there is today, it's just it's different air that you breathe.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I mean, you see things differently, and it's a little scary because you don't realize how much control you have over your own life.
Yeah.
You don't realize how much it's not what you think it is, what that controls your life. You think it's everything
right.
around you that's controlling your life, and it's you. You control this thing. You
right.
make the decision. I think that that's I think that it's also knowing how to wield that decision. And you
sure.
have given me the ability to wield that decision because of taking mm-hmm. the trauma off. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
like, it's, yeah, yeah. It's like, you can know that that's what you need to do, but it's your interaction, your belief system around that decision, you know, your worth, your self-worth around that thing. Once you've taken the trauma off, I've been able to wield my decision making skills. Just like
willpower.
Just do it. Yeah, my willpower.
Wielding power.
I just do it.
That's power.
It's incredible. And I'm like, yeah, this is really on you. This is really on
yeah.
you. But now
that
in
whole
a good
piece,
way.
That whole piece in the Black conversation about accountability. Right? We talk about we think we can keep telling us to be accountable to this random like you know, completely abstract accountability. No, accountability mm-hmm. is gathering yourself, your thoughts, your ideas, the resource of you, right? All external and external, and hitting the target, being accountable
yep.
to your vision. And in doing so, right, you become an impactful person, you become a contribution, you become a fantastic mother, you choose differently, right? So you can only be accountable to your vision. You can only be accountable to the truth and to reality. Right? That's really what
yep.
this is about. We talk about accountability.
Yep.
So you have just been such a joy to work with, and so much more to come. Right? You're going to join Awaken Warrior, which launches soon. Any last thoughts for anyone who's listening before we bring
Honestly,
this to a close? Thank you so much for your time.
No, I'm happy to talk about it. I think that this is like you're a hidden gem, and this is an opportunity of a lifetime. This is like one of those things. It's like a cheat code. You're getting access
yeah.
to a cheat code that you never knew you can get access to. And
yeah.
once you experience one cheat code, you're like, man, oh wow. I need to get more. I need to get more cheat codes because I've been working my butt off too much for nothing. It's like I've been and
right.
once you get the cheat code, that's what I mean, like other people are getting this help. You'll begin to see that other people need the cheat code because you begin to realize nobody is really getting to that level of success that you dream of without help.
Right.
There is
right.
no way. You are doing your best in the situation that you are now. You just don't have the cheat code. Get the cheat
right.
code.
Right. No, I love that. That's so true. And listen, let me just toot my own horn a little bit. I think that the things that I've like gathered, you know, like identity installation, these tools that really people do not know about. I'm gonna start teaching this stuff one day, teach people how to do what I do someday. But you know, it's even the cheat code to the cheat code because it's so fast, you know, to imagine that you could install an identity to crave working out in a session. Like nobody's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
out here in these streets.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's doing that in these streets. Right? Nobody's clearing trauma, lifelong trauma, in a session. Right?
Exactly.
Not that nobody's doing it, but very few are doing it. So I feel like it's a cheat code to the cheat code. So,
well, giving us access, they may be out there, but how many Black women have access to them?
Right.
Think about
that's
that.
Right. Right. That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. And it's funny, I had somebody my boyfriend's colleague, when he was helping me think through, because I have a hard time figuring out how to talk about what I do. I'm a terrible marketer. Well, I'm learning, but I used to be a terrible marketer. But I was like, how do I talk about what I do? It's so inside. It's all on the insides, right? He said, Veronica, you're not just a medicine. You're a cure. And I was like, yeah.
That's true.
That's right.
That's true.
So, yeah, so cheat code. You've been so generous with your time today, and I appreciate you so much, and so much more for you to come on the horizon as you join us for Awaken.
Yes.
So, Black woman, if you are listening to this today and you want more, now, we're going to begin now. We're beginning now. So we're going to plan to I'm going to put out some stuff about a white woman warrior, and we are going to, in community with other like-minded women, we are going to leap a tall building in a single bound between now and the end of 2023, moving into 2024. So this is time to make it count. In a world on fire with all that's going on, right, you have to have the inner agility to navigate this life. And I have spent 2 decades bringing together, right, all of the resources for you to make that leap. So if this is something that you are interested in, hit me up. This will be out here on social media, this interview, and it'll be on websites, and you'll probably see it on the Awakened Woman Warrior website. Take a leap. This is what it's really about. Miss Ashley Warmington, it is such a joy and pleasure. It's been such a joy and honor to serve you.
Thank you, Brian.
And your vision. And can't wait to do more.
Thank you so much, Veronica. You are awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, this is Veronica Conway with A Conversation in Awakening, an Awakened Woman Warrior, signing off for now.